Okay, today's daf is Daf Tesvav. We're holding on the Mishnah on Daf Yudalit. We've been missing our Sabbath Josh for the past 3 days, and we're very happy to have him begin with arousing.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Omer Reb Yosi. Ma'aseh b'tinoket, she'ardal malot mayim in ayin v'ne'ensa. There was a story in which they had to paskin in terms of her suitability for for the kahuna. Of a young girl who had gone down out of town, basically, to get water out of the spring, and she was raped there. And Omer Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, im rov anshei ha'ir meisin lekuhuna, harei zoti naseh lekuhuna. So Rav Yochanan ben Nuri paskened that if most of the people in town, where we assume the rapist is from, are themselves kosher, that we go according to the rov, and that we should assume that this woman is allowed to marry a kohen. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri de Amar Kiman. Exactly who was Rav Yochanan ben Nuri following when he was matir her lekuhuna? Yirka Rabbi Gamliel. The way that Rabbi Gamliel paskined until now was that she is ne'emenet even in a case where you have rov psulim. So why did Rav Yochanan ben Nuri say, check out the town and see whether you have a rov of people that would be kosher if they raped her for marriage to kahuna? Even without a robe, it would be kosher. Now, this strikes you as being completely ridiculous, this question. As Tosis points out, what do you mean, if like Rabbi Gamliel? Rabbi Gamliel was talking about a case where she was bori. and not only bori, but we had also a migur together with it, which we don't seem to have over here. Furthermore, if we didn't have that, at least we had isha bodeket umizanat. I mean, over here we don't have anything. She was raped. It's no migo. Everything seems to be running in the opposite direction of this having anything to do with the Pesach of Rabbi Gamliel or her Nemanut. She's not saying anything. I say she's a victim. We're trying to find out who the rapist was. What in the world does that have to do with Rabbi Gamliel, who was talking about in cases where the woman says she knows who it is that got her pregnant or she was sleeping with whatever? I mean, then we have none of that. The question seems absurd on the surface. And furthermore, Ika Rabbi Yoshua, Afilu Berov Kisherim Nami Pos. According to Rabbi Yoshua, there we pasul even in cases where she says that she does know. We pasul him Rav Kisherim. So Tosus understands that the question is to be understood like this. If you want to say that Rabbi Yochanan, over here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, follows the din of Rabbi Gamliel, and indeed in this case we're talking about where she came into town saying that she was raped. So she has a migu. She never had to say she was raped. That's the best possible migu. And she's also claiming that she knows that it was someone that was kosher. So therefore we would believe her, even if Rover Psulim. So then it wouldn't work out only by Rabbi Gamliel. If it's going according to Rabbi Yoshua, and of course this makes it a little bit problematic, because we say Rabbi Yoshua never said in a case where there's a true amigo. If you're saying that she came along and said that he raped me, then that's the best amigo you have, especially the way Joseph was learning before him, but she had amigo to say that I wasn't invalid. She said she wasn't invalid. That's even in a case where there was a chashash. So therefore, we'll have to complicate the case further and say, and if it's talking about where we did see that the two of them were together, but we hadn't seen him rape her, and she just said afterwards, I thought he was a nice guy, and I was just hanging out, and he ended up date raping me. So in that case, it would be not Ne'emenes Aliyah of the Rabbi Yoshua either. Also not so posh, and this is going only according to Mad Yoma, that Ra'um Midaberet, that there's no Migu. And that's exactly the same as the case of Shvuya. So the Eha Petropas Larayas, if we see a girl alone with a boy, and they seem to be in a way that they could have slept together, his assumption is people always sleep together. It's ridiculous to say that they didn't. So okay, so then Mumon of Shach, either we would have now a Ne'emonis Aliba to Rabbi Gamliel, even without Rav Kisherim. Why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say Im Rov Anshei Ha'ir? Or it wouldn't even help Rov Kisherim. Oh boy. Wouldn't even help Rov Kisherim if it was going Aliba to Rabbi Yoshua. Omar Le Hochi Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rav as saying that this was a unique circumstance, and that what happened over here was that it was Bikronot Shel Tzipori Haya. There used to be a day every week in which people would gather together, and they would come in wagons from all over the area to the open spaces of Tzipori, right outside the city. That city is, of course, in Barnea's neighborhood. And they would have a Yom HaShuk, which people would come from all over to buy and sell. And therefore, it would be going like Rav Ami, Yom Rav Ami, V'hu Shaita Si'a Shel B'nei Adam Kisherim, Overet L'Sham. So what happened over here is Rashi learns, again, very simply, because he didn't have the complex case that Tosfos explains. So Rashi learns, we're going on Libra Rabbi Yoshua, and when we said that she could be Masin L'Kunah with Rov Ksherim, whereas earlier we said Rabbi Yoshua apostles even with Rov Ksherim, over here we have a double Rov Ksherim. We have Rov of the city of Tzipori, and we also have Rov of the area around that would be coming for the Yom HaShuk, were also Ksherim. And even though Rabbi Yoshua may not be Matir L'Kuhuna on the basis of a single Rov, that's only because of the Ma'aleh Asubi Yuchasin, if you recall. Normally we would paskin on the basis of a Rov. However, when it comes to the Kuhuna, we want La Creme de la Creme. We don't want Rov. So therefore, in a case where we have a double Rov, not that that really makes much of a difference in terms of the Psak, but in terms of the niceties of the Chumra vis-a-vis Yuchasin, it does make a difference. And over there, Rav Yoshua would agree that it would be all right to be Somech if you have both the Rov of the city and the Rov of the Kronot. In that case, there was no problem of Ma'ala Asu B'Yuchasin. Whereas according to Tosfos, we'll have to say that the answer of Rav Yehuda Amarav is, actually, we're talking about that she did not say Bori. And this was not a case where Rabbi Gamliel would have believed her. Nonetheless, we are saying both Alibid Rabbi Gamliel and Alibid Rabbi Yoshua on the fact that we have Trey Ruby, and we'll see later on, everybody agrees that Ma'ale Asubi Yuhasin, and that indeed you need to have Trey Ruby. And this was Kiddi Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai said, the Omer Rabbi Yanai said something very strange, Nivelet Bikronot Sheira L'Kuhuna, that if she was raped in the wagon, she's kosher for Kuhuna, which, that's insane. What? The Kronot Tzalkatak, there's something magic about wagons? Ella, obviously, what it means is, Nivelet B'Sha'at Kronot, that if it was a time that the wagon trains were coming into town, so that we had a rove of a Sia that was kosher from outside of town as well, so then she's Ksheira L'Kuhuna. But, yeah, these were all Jews. Avopirish Echad Mitzipori Uba'al, however, if it wasn't wagon train day, and actually somebody had come out of the city and had trapped her at the well and raped her, we would not be semech on the road, and we would say that Vlad is a shtuki and cannot marry a kohen. Ki odech yasser Ravdimi omar ziri omar Rav Chanina. As we know, when Ravdimi came, he quotes ziri in the name of Rabbi Chanina. And some say it wasn't even Ravdimi. It was a well-known quote of Rabbi Chanina by ziri. So others leave out Rav Dimi from the story. Amila Omer Rav Zira Omer Rav Chanina. Hochin achar rov ha'ir ve'in hochin achar rov si'a. We will only follow the rov if it's from the city. We won't follow the rov from the wagon train, which of course is ridiculous, because that's saying the opposite of what we were expecting to hear, if you're saying it's like him. So then, what? Klapelea, where are you headed? Just the opposite. Understand? I mean, if anything, the Svara over here tends in the opposite direction. Forget about even what you're expecting. What actually is the difference between a rove in the city and a rove in the wagon train? It's a very important difference. Because as we know, as we've seen many times, we're going to review once again the halacha today, in a case where a situation is in its place, nothing has left its place, when you have a situation in situ, there is no din of rov. Kol kavua kemetz al mechtz adami. So therefore, let's say you have 9 butcher shops in town that are selling kosher meat. One butcher shop that's selling treif meat. Somebody bought, a tourist comes into town, bought in a shop as they were passing by, comes to your house and presents you with a beautiful steak that they're buying you as a gift, and you ask them, what shop did you buy it in? And they say, I have no idea. I was just walking by a street and I bought it. So you would think so. I mean, most of the stores are kosher. You can have the steak. However, since the stores are kavua, there is no din of rov. Now, where we learn that from, we're going to see later on. But there is no din of rov. So if anything, the city is a place where we would be less likely to look to rov because people are in their normal sight, and therefore there should be no rov. But the travelers in the wagon train, we should look to a rov. And therefore, if anything, you should have said just the opposite. We would be semek on the rov when it comes to the siyah, but we won't be semek on the rov when it comes to the city. Therefore, the statement makes no sense at all. It's not what we're looking for. So somebody's misquoting. And it doesn't even make sense. So therefore, we say klape laya. Klape means towards. Towards what? Laya, are you heading? Well, what are you trying to say, in other words? This is crazy. If anything, it's the opposite. Hani naidi vanika vivakaimi. Ela, hochin acha rov ha'ir. What he said was, we do follow the rov of the city, but only in a case where hu de'ika rov si'ah behada. It's only where it's accompanied by a second rov, by people that are moving around from other places and have come around town. But ein hochin acha rov ha'ir gredata. We will not follow just the rov of the city. V'lo acha rov si'ah gredata. And we will not follow simply the rove of the passer-byers. Now, what is the svara for this? My time. The reason that we won't accept even the rove passer-byers were over there, they are not kavua in their place. My time. Is because we have a gezeira that if we would do that, then people may come to rely on rove of the city. So gezeirat rove si'ah to rove ha'ir. The rove ha'ir, we can't be semechan. Because the truth is, I mean, why can't we be semech on the rov ha'ir? If somebody has left town to rape her at the water hole, so then he's not kavua. But he was parish from the city, called the parish, merubaka parish. Anything that comes out of a mixture is considered to go according to the rov. So what exactly was the problem? Rov ha'ir nami, indeed, idaka azla yinu legaba. If someone from town came out to rape her at the Ayin, so then we should also say kol deparish merubah kaparish. Ah, the problem is lo tzarech tekal ozla ihi legabayu. What we're worried about over here is where she would go into town, and therefore we would have a problem. The correct girsa is not lo tzaricha deka, which would mean the case being is that, but rather mishum deika. Because of, there may be a case which people will easily confuse, because again, the most confusing thing in the world is how to deal with statistics, correct? Every television advertisement shows you that. People don't have a clue as to what it means. Lessens your chance of getting cancer by 98%, which is a completely meaningless statement. But Lamaisa, the same question will occur over here, in which what we're saying is there's dinim of road. But statistics don't define something which is where it is. It just defines likelihood of things that are are now coming out of nowhere. What's the likelihood that such and such a thing will be? So therefore, in order to avoid people's confusion, in a case where she may well have gone to somebody's home in town, thinking he's a nice guy, he turns out to be like everybody else. He's a rapist. Right? So Mimela, what happens therefore is that we don't want to be semech on rov in the town. I think it's time to turn that thing off. And let's get some... just pull out there. Right there.
Just hit the switch.
Very noisy. Very humid. So what we're talking about, therefore, is a chashash. What happens if she went into a mokum kavua? Then it would be irrelevant. How many people in town are kosher lakuna? Because how many people in town are kosher lakuna tells us absolutely nothing about the house that she went into. Okay? Nothing at all. And therefore, there is no rove in that case. And therefore, even though when people are traveling by, so we'll say, okay, if they're traveling by, then they don't have any problem with a particular place. Because there is no particular, that's true. But if we would go according to rove siya, people will assume we can go according to rove ear. If we go according to rove ear, people will think we would go according to rove ear, even in cases where she went to somebody's house. Therefore, we said, look, if you have two roves, so then nobody's going to get confused. And then you can rely, basically, on the person being kosher lakuhuna, the rapist is therefore kosher lakuhuna, and she is kosher lakuhuna. So therefore, kivan te'ika de ka'azar iya legabayu, tehavile kavua. V'yom Rebbe Zeira, kol kavua, kebech tzalmech tzadami, as Rebbe Zeira has pointed out, wherever anything is in situ, it's not considered to be dependent on a rov. So therefore, the only way that we could be matir this case, both according to Rabbi Gamliel and according to Rabbi Yoshua, when it comes to Yuchasin, would be in a case where we don't have any chashash that people will paskin mistakenly in a case of kavua according to the rov. All right. So now we have an additional issue. Until now, we've spoken about cases where she was saying something, and there was a machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua as to the level of her ne'emanut, in cases where it's bori, in cases where there's a semi-migo of a psychologically better taina, in cases where there's a full migo in a legally better taina, in cases where there's a chazaka, or perhaps even two chazakas that are saying that she's kshera, in cases where you have also a chashash in the first place, and we're going to rely on the fact that an isha mizana, bodeketu mizana, perhaps according to Rabbi Gamliel, all types of issues. However, what we're introducing here is a completely abstract suffix where we have no data. She has no idea. We have no idea. All we know is that a rape took place. In that case, we should be able to rely on a rov. Because of the problems of yichus and the mistaken application of rov to places where it should not be applied, because of that, we made a ma'ala of a yuchsin to require two rovs in order to be matir lekuna. Asks the Gemara, Umiba ina trei ruvi, do we indeed require a dual rov? How about the classic case? We are Tanya. Teisha chanuyot, kulan mochrot basar shkuta. Now, at this point, the Gemara does not recognize, we've peeked ahead, we already know the din of ma'ale asur biyuchasin. The Gemara thinks that what we're talking about is in general, to paskin a suffix, we say that you need to have two rovs, and therefore it's going to ask from the classic case of paskin like rov, which is the case of the 10 stores. So you have 9 stores in town, kula mochrot basar shkuta. Everybody is selling in those 9 stores kosher meat. V'achat mocheret basar nevela. The lakach mi'achat mi'am, somebody buys from one of the stores. Ve'eino yodea mi'eze mi'am lakach. He doesn't know which store he bought from. Sveiko asur. In that case, the suffix is asur. But if you found a piece of meat lying in the street, it's kosher. Nimtza alach acharov. So there already the meat, the suffix did not arise in place. It arose now after it already had been removed from its location. Now the question is, where did it come from? Since we know most of the sources of the meat are sources that are kosher, so we go according to the rov without requiring an additional rov. Now maybe you'll tell me, v'chitena, you'll try to tell me that that case is talking about b'she'in daltot medina ni'ulot. We're talking about a town that is open to the world, in which case any travelers that would be coming into town would further complicate matters by forcing us to recognize the rov of meat that may be brought into town. So we're talking about a county or an area in which rov of the meat is kosher. And that's why we're saying over here that benim tzolach achar rov, because we have two rovs. That is not true. Because Amar Rabbi Zeira, and remember, Rabbi Zeira was the source of the problem in the first place. Rabbi Zeira was the one who said, kol kavua kemet tzamet tzadami. And yet, it's Rabbi Zeira who, on this famous braita of the Teisha Chanuyot, says, afal pi shadaltot medinat nu'ulot. Even though you may be talking about an enclosed question, in physical terms, the city is a walled city and we close the doors. I mean, this is an abstraction, even though there's no additional issue, so that you have a closed suffix, nonetheless, you can rely on the single rov. Why over here do we say that it's talking about dafka kiranot shel tzipori? Answers the Gemara, well, obviously, in general terms, we rely on people's ability to distinguish between kavua and between rov. The reason that we require over here kronot shel tzipori to have a dual rov is only because of ma'ale asu biyuchasi. So this is a special case We've seen this throughout the Perek. We have much more stringent requirements when it comes to Mesi'im Lekuhuna. Gufa. Let's take a look now more closely. Once we've been entertaining now this is the first time really that we've raised the issue of Rov. We've dealt with all the other elements earlier in the Perek. So we've dealt with Sofek and Sveik Sveika and Bori and Migu and Chazoka, and there are many that hold that Sveik Sveika is not itself a functional element of Rov, but is a different mechanism. Now we're coming to a direct question of Rov. We've raised it for the first time. We now want to distinguish between Rov and Kavua, being as this Masechta clearly wants to deal with all of the elements of Ne'amanut. It's not surprising that we want to look into Rebbe Zeira's halacha more carefully to distinguish between Rov and Kavua. So Gufa, Amar Rebbe Zeira, Kol Kavua Kemechza Mechza Tami, and this is true, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra. I'm not simply saying that we can't rely on a Rov. I'm saying that this would be true even if you're going to be Mako. So normally I would have thought that something would be Osir because there's a Rov that says it's Osir. I'm telling you that if it's Kavua, you don't go according to the Rov, and you have a Suffolk. Therefore, you could add another Suffolk to it in terms of Sveik Sveika, or it would be Nogea Suffolk to Member Shutarabim, which would be Torah, and so on and so forth. All places where you could be Mekel on a Suffolk, you would be Mekel on a Suffolk. And I'm not simply telling you you cannot trust Rov when it's Kavua. I'm telling you Rov is inoperative when it's Kavua. And therefore, that's true whether it's Lekula or Lechumra. Now, that's a tremendous Kiddush. Where does Rebbe Zeira know this from? We know a little Rebbe Zeira. Where is Rebbe Zeira's proof from a Braita or a Mishnah that this is the case? I mean, because, look, I mean, obviously we know we just had a case, but that's a case of Lechumra, not a case of Lekula. So, I mean, if you're talking about the source of his halacha being the case of Teisha Hanuyot that we just had, Kula Mochrot Basar Shkuta, Achat Mocheret Basar Nevela, said over there that surprisingly, if you buy meat from one of the stores and you don't know what store you bought it from, you do not follow the Rove because the stores are what they are, not affected by the Rove. So then if that's the case, all that you see over there, it says Sveiko Asur Benimsa Alecha Harov, that's a case of Lechumra. Maybe you don't rely on a Rove where it's Kavua in order to be Matir to meat, but that doesn't mean that we would rely on a Kavua to be Mekel against the Rove. And Rebbe Zeira is claiming we'll rely on it to be Mekel. So that's not a good case. Okay. Let's try another case. We have another well-known case in the Tosefta of where it is we're going to view a Rove in terms of a Kavua as an operative. And that's the case of the froggies. Now, if you've got 9 froggies and you've got 1, let's say, lizard, remember, there's only a small set of shrutzim that are metame in the Torah, only 8. So, and froggies are not included. Froggies are friendly shrutzim. They're not metame you when they are dead. So over here, you've got 9 dead frogs and 1 dead sheretz. Let's say you've got a lizard. Lizard is metame. So now you've got a mixture over here of 9 things that would not be metamiyu, 1 thing that would be metamiyu. You know that you touched one of these things when you were cleaning up. They know you're there, the ezmiyam naga. Now you don't know if you touched a dead frog or a dead lizard. Okay. So what's the halacha over there? The din is sveiko tame. Now, sveiko tame seems to be, even though you should say go according to Rove. The Rove are frogs, and therefore we should say I'm tahar. Apparently, because I had them now stashed in this place, so they're considered to be kavua. And since they're dead, it's unlikely that they jumped out at you. And so, memela, we'd have to be machmer. But again, that doesn't prove anything, because that's to be machmer. We were already willing to learn that you could be machmer on a kavua keneged arov from the case of Teisha Hanuyot. So this is not going to help you. Ah, true, but there's the other froggy story. The other braita has it the other way around. You've got 9 lizards and 1 froggy. And over there, naga be'achad mi'en. Now, on the surface, you've got over here a rove that tells you that you're tummy. Therefore, this would not be a normal case of suffic tuma, because we first use the rove to pasim that you're tummy. If it were a suffik tumah, let's say you would have a suffik ashakul, where it would be 50%. Then we have a very special halacha when it comes to suffik tumah, in which we learn from Sota. Gentlemen, I admit that I am unable to project my voice properly today because of the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore I ask of you to please help me, because the sense of frustration that I have in seeing you drift off and being unable to give any more power, unfortunately, to the sound, so that I can penetrate the veil. Please help me, help me. As a chesed, it's very hurtful. When there's nothing you can, the sense of helplessness that makes you very tired, helpless. So, in this case, we have a special law that kicks in, which is called Sofik Tuna, learned from Sota, which is either from Rishut HaYachid or Rishut HaRabbi. The Torah calls the Saita Nitma'a. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean literally Nitma'a, however, it gives it a din of Tuma, so to speak. And the Torah says that if she was alone with the guy, so then we're ready to call that a Sofik, where she's alone, which is Rishut HaYachid, and we call it a Nitma'a. The very fact that we know she was alone with the guy means that she was nitma'a. From there we learn that a suffik tuma, if you're alone with it, so it's rishut hayachid, and over there rishut hayachid does not mean what it means on Shabbos, defined by actual space. It's defined by the intelligence that is aware of the situation. So if you have a suffik tuma rishut hayachid, so it's you and the tuma, and now you got to decide what we're talking about. The din is that it would be tamei, which comes from seita. If it's in a public place, has nothing to do with mechitzas, where there's other people that are around, then it's tohor. Now this gzeirat hakatuv makes absolutely no sense. It just comes from a halacha that is learned directly out of Sota, and it applies to cases where there's a suffix. If, however, you have a rov, then you don't have a suffix, because the rov already defined the situation in advance. If you've got nine now, in a case of shrotzim that are tmeim, then you already have a vadai tuma from the standards of normal sveikas. And nonetheless, it says in the Braita, v'reshut hayachid sveiko tamei, v'reshut harabim sveiko tahor, which is ridiculous, unless the rov doesn't work. And it doesn't work l'kula. To tell me that even though I've got 90% over here that I touch something tamei, it's irrelevant. As far as I'm concerned, it's 50%, 50-50. And if it's 50-50, then we have the din of Rishut HaRabim that kicks in. Rishut HaRabim tells me Sveiko Tahor. So obviously, we're relying over here that Kavua makes Rov inoperative, even though it's Lakula. And it allows us to paskin a Suffolk tumor of Rishut HaRabim Lakula, and you end up being Tahor, despite the fact you've got a 90% chance of having touched a Sheretz and not a Tzvardeh. So here we see Rabbi Zeira has, in fact, a basis in the Braita, that the kavua cancels a rov, even if you're talking about lakula. Where does the Braita know that from? Umidiyoraita minale. What is the source of this in the Torah? Omar kro, v'yoravlo v'kam alav. The Torah speaks over here about murder. And it says, in order to be mechayev somebody for murder, if he's giving a daf yomi and somebody falls asleep, then he's definitely considered to be potter. Because that's considered to be an onus. Simply couldn't control himself.
Like the mice in France, which have killed the guy who asked for ketchup. And the judge forgave him.
Of course. Yes, it's true. It's true. So if the case is, says the Torah, that for Aravlo, and that you were sitting there in wait for your victim, the Kamala, and then you jump out at it. What is all of that? Well, that's supposed to be telling us. So it teaches us, Achiet Kaven Lo. There has to be an intent specifically for that person, and that's Rabbi Shimon. But according to the Rabbanan, what did they understand with this pasuk? Says the Vei Rabbi Yonai, what it means is that if a person throws out, let us say, shoots a bullet into a crowd, throws a rock out at a crowd, and he has no idea whether he in fact may be shooting a Jew, not shooting a Jew. So the halach over there is that he would be potter. Now I ask you, what do you mean halach is that he would be potter? Echida. If we're talking about where you have a rove of Kananim, which you would be potter for shooting, and one Yisrael, so then that's not because of a special pasuk of the Oravlo, that's because of Ruba Kananim. And you know what, even for that matter, even if it was 50-50, I don't need a pasuk to tell me 50-50, because we know that in terms of capital cases, the halacha is v'itzilu ha'ida, and suffic nefashot lahakel. So instead of killing this guy, and it's talking about, obviously, we gave him hatra'ah, exactly why this is not called hatra'at safek. Right? I mean, why don't we say, anyway, if you hold hatra'at safek, is lav shmei hatra'ah. I mean, the guy can say, well, you know, who's to say I intend to do anything wrong? You know, may not even hit anybody. And he's just having fun. Like the Arabs always shooting off the guns at the wedding, you know. Sometimes you kill the chassid kala, sometimes you don't, but it's sort of part of the fun of the wedding. So why isn't it just Hatra'at Safek? Tosfos is machalik between a Hatra'at Safek of a Safek Shiavoli De Isur, or a Hatra'at Safek where you don't know who it is you're going to hit. But in any event, let's ignore the Hatra'at Safek issue. It's talking about the guy who was Mekabel Hatra'at. Nonetheless, when it would come to saying that he would be Chayev, we would say the Tzilu Aida tells us that if there's any grounds to potter him, and over here there's a suffix, Mechzal Mechzal. So we should potter him from a Chiyav Misa. So anyway, he would be potter without the Chiddush. What do I need the Pasuk V'arav Lo V'kamala for? Therefore, the only possible Chiddush would be the Katisha Yisraeli and Kanani Echad Benehem, where over there you have a Kanani Kavua. And what the Pasuk is coming to teach me is a general principle that's not associated with this particular halacha, which comes to tell me that even though you have row, 90% of the cases is you pull that trigger, you are going to be doing an issur that is a capital crime. Nonetheless, since it's kavua, the pasuk is teaching us that that's not called to be a rav lo v'kam. So therefore, you would in this case be potter because it becomes kemechzal mechzal.
What makes a kanani kavua?
No, in any case, where was kavua?
Why?
Because they're not knighted. They're not moving about. That already, what defines kavua? Let's leave for other times. That's more of a zvokhan sugya, which we'll be getting to fairly shortly, a couple of years. Itma. Rabchia barashi amarav, halachic Rav Yossi. We actually paskin like Rav Yossi over here, and she is muteret lekuhuna, and he doesn't say anything over here about the Tzipori business. And Reb Chanan bar Rava quotes Rava saying that actually Reb Yochanan ben Nuri, who paskined this particular case, it was a hora'at sha'ah. In this particular case, now, we'll see there's two ways of understanding this, but let's learn it now, that he was aware of the fact that we were talking about Koronot Shel Tzipori, and what he's saying is that we only needed, perhaps, the dual rove, because it was Orat Shah. He was afraid people would be making, or maybe the opposite. It may mean that he didn't know that it was B'Kronot Shel Tzipori. Therefore, normally we would not have relied on a single rove. But this was a very special case. We don't know why it was a special case. Perhaps there were other indications. Perhaps they didn't want to publicize the fact that they had information as to who the rapist was. Whatever. But it was a special case. Normally we would have required two roves. And we'll see that there's two ways of understanding it later. To which the Gemara asks, Mosiv Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah thought that Rav was paskening, like Rabbi Yossi, without taking into consideration Koronot Shel Tzipori. And therefore it was based on a single robe of the city of Tzipori, Bing Mesian Likahuna. And nonetheless he was paskening that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So he asked, Ulu Yukasin Lo Ba'ina Trei Rubi. You're trying to tell me that according to Rav, you don't require a dual rove, even though we're talking about marriage to Kohanim. But not. Matzah batinok mushlach. You have a city which is mostly Jewish. You find a child in a basket. So now, basically, let's talk about what kind of city it is. If it's a city where it's mixed population. If it's a mixed population which is mostly Ovdei Kochavim, so then the assumption is the child is an Ovdei Kochavim. If it's a city which is mostly Yisrael, then it's considered to be a Jewish child. If it's mixed half and half, so nonetheless the child is also a Jewish child, in which case it can't mean the same thing that it meant before, because then we should have just said, if it's Mertza, Mertza, and up, then it's Jewish. There's obviously levels of Jewishness. So we're going to explain what those levels are. V'yomer Rav. So Rav says, look, when we say, if it's mostly Jewish, the child is Jewish, that is a reference to Lahachayoto. When it comes to the question of taking care of this child, providing him support, medical care, and so on and so forth, over there we will treat him as if he's Yisrael. But if this child is a female, to allow her to marry a Kohen, no way. Avaluyu chasim lo. Which means that Rav himself is saying, we will not postulate that a child found in a city of Rove is going to be kosher lakuhuna. So apparently Rav holds that you actually need a dual robe. So then why do we find Rav passing like Rabbi Yossi, ostensibly where there was no dual robe? Where Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri simply said that if most of the city is Messiah Lekumina, that is sufficient. Shmuel Omar? Shmuel says the case is we're ready to be Mechala Shabbos for this kid. Not only to give charity for him and to provide medical care, but also the fakir chalavet agal. If we need to bring a crane on Shabbos to uncover the chance that this child may have survived an earthquake, we will be mechal Shabbos for him. So anyway, but what do we do about the problem in the Psak of Rav? Oh, please. Ishtamidite, odom revinam Rav. That's because he had never heard that when Rav Paskin over here, like Rav Yossi, then Rav also said the case had been in the case of the rape of the child. It was Bikrono Chotzipori Avimaseh. And that he was paskening indeed that it was a double rove, which is completely consistent with what he's saying over here. We'll only be Mater Lekuhuna because we have a double rove. Wait a minute. But Rav Chanan bar Rava said that was a Hora'at Sha'aita. I assume that means that normally we don't require a double rove. Then isn't it a contradiction? No, please. Mand matneha, lo matneha. I mean, you don't have it both ways. If it was a ra'acha'a, it's because it wasn't a double rove. It wasn't Bikrono Chatzipori. The one who quotes Rav as saying it was Bikrono Chatzipori does not say it was a ra'acha'a. So the correct meaning of the quote of Rav that it was a ra'acha'a was actually, the way we had it before, was out of context. If we don't have the information about Krono Chotzipori. As a matter of fact, who knows whether the meaning of Horacha maybe was Krono Chotzipori. In other words, there was something else about that case. I don't know what it was, but there was something unique about that case where we were Matir, the Rov Ha'ir. Maybe there's something else was Krono Chotzipori. But it's not that I knew Krono Chotzipori, and I'm saying it was Horacha that we needed Krono Chotzipori, that's for sure. There was no knowledge of Krono Chotzipori, if you're telling me it was Ora Acha'a. So it may just be two ways of saying over the same information, one a little bit more detailed than the other. Skipper.
I'm working on it.
Good. Yes, Ken.
How come we never take in consideration, like for example, a piece of meat is one thing, but it could be that Mamzer are more likely to rape. It could be, you know, that a boy is more likely to leave a baby on the doorstep than a Jew. Why isn't there?
No, we do in other cases. We do. And we're not going into all of the issues here. We do a little bit we did before in the Machlokas Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua, in which Rabbi Gamliel was saying, well, most goyim are going to rape her, whereas we wouldn't say that about Jews, whereas Rabbi Yeshua was saying, you're naive. So we did take it a little bit into consideration. In other places, we take it more into consideration. The truth is that we're leaving out an enormous amount of material here, as Rashi points out. The whole question of finding a child in a basket needs to take into consideration many, many other things. For instance, is there a cross on her tummy, or is there a mark of covenant on her tummy? I mean, that may be indicative of something. And things like that. You know, is there a letter to the Dursleys? There's no letter. There's all kinds of issues that we need to consider. Yeah. But we're just sort of stripping the issues.
Context.
Context is very important, but we're trying to strip it of any issues.
What are the issues of the letter of what?
Because she has a chazaka. Because she has a chazaka.
What do you mean with the meat?
The truth is, I believe what our president is trying to ask is Tosis's question, in which Tosis back on Amud Aleph says this whole question of the Yuchasin, we easily could have answered that this case of Tinog doesn't have a Chaskas Kash. The cases of the rape of the Tinog, of the Tinoket, we're talking about, she starts off with the Chaskas Kash, when you find... When you find a child in a basket, you're wondering what the child is. So you don't start off. You don't start off with the Cheskes Kashas, which seems to be a wild card, a very important wild card that we're ignoring, which is strange. 9 out of 10, but it's kavua that that's your son. Ha! Indeed. So answer him yes. Soon. Once somebody comes to the Chumash Review Sheet. All right. So apparently, Bikavua, it works also. We have experimental data. It's about the level of experimental data they give you on TV. All righty. Continues the Gemara. Good. Much about Tinok Mushlach, Imrov of Dekochavim of Dekochavim, Imrov Yisrael Yisrael. Let's get to the bottom of that, because it was very vague. You split it into three clauses, but two of the clauses have the same law. And that, obviously, you're using the terms Mechza Mechza Yisrael in a way that's different from Rov Yisrael Yisrael, because otherwise there would be no point at splitting into three clauses. Amar Rav, okay, let's start. We said, Imrov Yisrael Yisrael, Mechza al Mechza Yisrael. So now what this means, Omar Rav, Lo Shano el al Hachayote, Aval Yuchasim lo. We said earlier on that this is only good for questions of charitable purposes. If it comes for marrying to the Kuna, we won't rely on this. Shmuel, however, seems to be saying, Lefakech al Avatagal, that if you've got the Rov, so that is a Yisrael, even... And apparently, I mean, the most he could say is if it's Mechza, Mechza will be Mechal Shabbos for him. Shmuel couldn't have said that. Because Shmuel holds we'd be Mechal Shabbos even if it's 99% not a Jew. And therefore, why would he say he's a Jew even to be Mechal Shabbos? V'omer of Yosef, v'omer of Yerom Shmuel, ein holchin bebikuach nefesh achar harov. If you've got a small chance of being able to save a life, then you don't follow a rove. Elaki Hitmar de Shmuel, a reshe, masari. He was going back on the part that said he's a goy. Im rove of dekochavim, he's ovek dekochavim, to which Shmuel said, now wait a minute. That's not true, lagabi chel shabbos. Omar Shmuel, ulefakeh halavat agal, enokein. When it comes to being mechal shabbos for him, im rove of dekochavim, then he would still nonetheless be Michal Shabbos. So then, what would be the meaning of Imrov of Dekochavim of Eikochavim Lamai Hilchita? In terms of what is he a goy then? Well, you can feed him a burger from McDonald's. Omer Papalach Elon Nevelot. The poor kid is dying for McDonald's, and you're giving him these chumras. So you don't have to give him chumras. If you got Rov Akum. He's got a right to, you can even go buy him a sandwich. Why not have a cheeseburger?
Even on
Tzom Gedalia. Even on Tzom Gedalia. A cheeseburger on Tzom Gedalia. It's a nitzvah. Okay, then you said if it's Rov Yisrael, then it's Yisrael. Now that can't mean if Rov Yisrael, Yisrael Lachayoso. Because you said even if it's Mechza al Mechza, we're going to take care of him, give him medical care, food, and so on. So then what would it mean if he's Rov Yisrael, Yisrael? L'may Yochata. That would be... Omrav Papa Lach Zirlo Aveda. That would be even to give him back, meaning somebody finds an Aveda. We will take that Aveda away from the finder, and we will give it to this person, despite the fact that the finder is saying, now wait a minute, I don't have to give money back to idolaters. He said, well, we're going to take it from you. We're going to give it back, because it's a suffix over here, which we're poskening with the rove, even to be Motzi Mamon from Yisrael. And this is despite the fact that it is a very serious chait to give back an aveda to an Ovid Gechovim, unless it's going to cause a Kiddush Hashem. And we darshan the posik of Laman Svot Aravat Atzmeya, last week's parsha, to mean somebody who, in his mind, his egalitarian mind, believes that one should treat Akum as Yisrael. Lo Yoveh Hashem Slovak, well, God will never forgive him. Because the whole point of Maisa Bereishis is to make a difference in human development. And if you want to be so liberal that multiculturalism is what it all stands for, God will not forgive you. That's Lo Yoveh. That's considered to be a very chomur chet that violates the essence of Hazinu, and therefore runs against the tshuva of Mitzavim. And because of that, we have a big chiddush that will actually not only allow you to give back an aveda, will force you to give back an aveda. And when you say mechtz al mechtz Yisrael, so what is the terms mechtz al mechtz Yisrael am ayochetam? Or Meresh Lakish, that would mean l'nizakim, that we would treat him even, I mean, obviously it can't be l'hazal aveda, because that we said only if it's rogue. We're splitting them up, saying it's separate. So if you're telling me now, the mechtzah mechtzah, what would be the halacha of mechtzah mechtzah? Omer Resh Lakish, that would be in terms of damages. Now damages, where's your computer? What? Well, you use your toes for typing?
Do you want me to bring it?
Yeah, could I know how to bring it? Oh, that? And I understand. You couldn't carry it. We'll get it here. Oh, okay. Fine. So he doesn't use his toes for typing. I knew that Capoeira was really getting up there. Toes for typing would have been really special. So we know that there is special dinim when it comes to Nizakim. The Torah gives a Gezeirat HaKatur, that there's a concept of a short tam and a short muad. So we have this weird halacha that although you're responsible for your property, there's a special halacha that you have a limited level of responsibility when it comes to a short tam, in that you only pay half of the damages, the first three times that short damages. That dispensation, however, does not apply to an akum. So an akum would be mechalim, the nezek shalim. So what Rav Papa seems to be saying over here, and what Rav Shlaki seems to be saying over here, is that when it comes to nizakim, we will treat him as a Yisrael. Now, what is the case? He named it an akhe turdi don, the turdi day. Is it that we, our shor, goes ahead and gores his shor? And it's telling us we will treat him as a Yisrael vis-a-vis the halacha that you have to pay. Because otherwise we treat an akum according to the dinim of the akum. So you guys don't pay, we don't pay you. Okay. So therefore, you'd be saying treat him as a Yisrael and you'll have to pay. Why in the world would we do that? On what basis? Mechza al mechza, we should say amotzi mechaber al avaraya. The guy whose property damaged him should say, listen, you prove to me that you're Jewish and I pay. Otherwise, I don't know that I'm chayav to pay. So leimalei aite raya di Yisrael, latushko, fine, I'm ready to pay. If you can prove that you're Jewish, I'll pay you. Lo tzricha, must be the other way around. The nakhe tura di day, la tura di da. So his shor goes ahead now and gores our shor. So there, what it's saying is, he has a din of Yisrael. He only pays half. Paragam mishalim. As far as the other half is concerned, which normally we would say to a guy, look, you don't have this dispensation. You hurt us. We treat you by our laws. Pay. But over here, the guy says, well, you want me to pay? Prove that I'm not Jewish. You want to take money out of my wallet. I'm not Samir of all of a riot. So I'm Alu. I can riot a lot of Yisrael. Now go prove that I am not Jewish. And I'll be happy to pay you, since you can't prove. So, we'll just have to settle for Chatsi Nezek. Hadron alar betulani seit. This question of Ma'aleh Subi Yuchasin is a very, very serious shaila in terms of halakha bizman hazeh. If we're saying Ma'aleh Subi Yuchasin and you require a double rov for all Yuchasin questions, you get into a heck of a lot of problems when it comes to modern-day issues of Mamzerut and so on. There's a lot of discussion among the poskim whether you really have a Ma'ala Subi Yuchasin. First of all, there's a machlokas whether we paskin Ma'ala Subi Yuchasin to require two roads. Rashi says we don't paskin this way. and a number of other Rishonim also. Oh, we'll see. I'll get to that. So we don't pask it this way. However, the Rambam paskens this way, the Shulchan Aruch paskens this way, that you do require a double rov. But, as Reb Mati just raised the question, the sheet of the Tanna B'Yehuda is that the entire din of Malas B'Yuchsin is only vis-a-vis the Kahuna, and not a general din of needing two robes for Yuchsin. And therefore, all of the obvious contradictions, such as, why do we accept Gerim? Maybe they come from Ammon or Moab. So obviously, we go according to Rov, the Marsus of a Farish, because they're not Kavua in their place. Some kind of scattered the Umers. We don't have a problem. What do you mean? We have the. Are you starting up? The point is the Umays are scattered. So we don't have a Kavua. And so therefore we should say we go according to Rov. Many other cases where we seem to ignore this idea of requiring two Rovs. So according to the Nota B'Yehuda, this is because we're not talking about the Kuna. We're talking about Bichlal in terms of Kashrus L'Kahal. Whoever said we need two Rovs for Kashrus L'Kahal. Many don't agree, and they are mechalek between the cases where we see clearly we didn't require two robes. For instance, the question of Amun and Moab. They said, what do you mean? We're not going to cancel the din of Geras just because we want to make a Malah B'Yos, and that's absurd. So we clearly will not apply such a halacha where it interferes with a more important halacha. But where it would apply, even if it were just questions of Mamzeris, we would, in fact, apply this. So again, questions how to be mechalek, under what circumstances we require a double rov. Many learn that the idea of a double rov does not apply to a ruba the lesser kaman. For instance, a woman gets pregnant and is married. The only reason that we assume that her child is her child, we have no idea who impregnated her. But we have a rov that most women have most of their sexual relations with their husband. Right? So that's rov b'ilot achar habal. So even if a woman is having an affair, it is still true that most of her b'ilot will go by her baal. Now, the question is, why don't we say ma'alasu b'yuchasin? So nobody can marry a kohen, because how do we know who the father was? Right? So most learn that where you're not describing a rove in the sense, remember that we understood this earlier, that there are two different types of rove. There's a rove that defines a set of items where we need to question where an item that emerged from the set came from. Then there's a statistical prediction. Statistical predictions have nothing to do with the sugya at all, as many of the mefarshim point out, because there's no such thing as kavua when it comes to statistical predictions, obviously. We don't say because this katan is now in his place, therefore the question of whether he's going to be sterile or not no longer applies, that most katanim aren't sterile, for instance. And that's ridiculous. So where you're making a prediction based on statistics, there's no difference between rov that's kavua and a rov that's not kavua. Since the whole basis of this takana was the fact that we might get confused with kavua versus called a parish miruba kaparish, obviously that does not apply to a ruba deleta kaman, which is the word for statistical predictions, if you remember. Okay, so there's much, much that needs to be discussed about this issue, and much that is nogea many contemporary problems. Getting back now to our review.